It's the official Catch Up podcast. It's 3 weeks on the spin. We're back. It's myself, Ben, here as ever. And I'm joined, as always, by Chris. Chris, how's it?
Yeah, good. Scottish football, always entertaining, always something to talk about. I don't think we'll go over the usual hour and a half or whatever we've been doing recently. Today, obviously, with a lot of postponements. But I'm sure everyone's seen that there's a fair bit to talk about this week.
Plenty of news and views to discuss, but we'll set the scene later on in the podcast, but we'll do our usual and cover off the leagues and competitions in tiers 5, 6, 7, and 8, and 9 within non-league football. And we'll start where we always start, the Lowland League. We could probably rattle through the fixtures quickly and start off with Bournemouth United 3, Gretna 2008-0, Broomhill 1, Trinity Juniors 2, Cali Braves 3, Berwick 2, Civil Service Trolls 0, Stirling University 0, East Lancashire 5, Dalbeattie Star 1, Edinburgh Uni 0, Rangers B 3, Galway Dean Rovers 1, Cowdenbeath 1, Celtic B 1, Cumbernauld Colts 1. I guess the big games to talk about, Chris, we'll start off with that Celtic B Cumbernauld Colts that happened on Friday night. Obviously an important game in the title race, we would say. Celtic B trying to keep pace with Rangers B and the other teams that are up the top of the division, but dropping points against Cumbernauld Colts.
Yeah, Cumbernauld obviously done the same to Rangers B as well, so I think the hero there is Ryan Adamson, the goalkeeper, well fought off and at this level, really good goalkeeper. I think it's tough with goalkeepers because there usually is a lot of standouts, you know, in the league, especially if teams are on form, and Ryan's done really well. To have a draw with Celtic B, I think someone asked really about the Colts teams playing the weaker sides, if you will. I don't think it's happened against Cumbernauld Colts, simply because I think they're chasing, both B teams are wanting to finish top, and I think that's the difference. So, yeah, that we can't really make that argument for the Colts, and the Colts have done really well considering two really good results. But Colts are a funny one, simply because they probably lack consistency. They could probably get these decent results. I called them party poopers last week. They can get these results against the perceived bigger sides, but they have to do it against teams kind of nearer their level as well. But fantastic result for Cumbernauld Colts, especially for a Celtic B team that's kind of been on form chasing down. I think they're second at the moment. So, yeah, decent result. I'll be interested to see what happens with that at the end of the season in terms of who wins the league or who's top of the league.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Celtic B drop the points given where they are on the table and what they're kind of hunting down, as you say, trying to win the title, as it would be, in the Lowland League. But fair play to Cumbernauld. They obviously up their game to play these bigger games, which is probably when you're down in 13th at this point in the season, that's the kind of game you're probably going to get up for, is getting a result against the perceived better teams and better standards of players and testing yourself. So great result for them. Something they can hopefully build on for the rest of the season, and maybe as the season starts to kind of, I guess, fizzle out for teams in that kind of middle chunk of the table. The other game I think we'll probably want to talk about is Civil Service Strollers 0, Stirling University 0. This one's probably quite important for that, again, for that top of the table. Stirling Uni dropping the points, I would say they're a tough away game, I guess, for them to go to. But they want to keep pace at the top. They've got to win the matches, but that's two draws in the spin now for them. And they still have the games in hand, which I think will be absolutely crucial. And now, I think I said this last week when I was talking about Stirling Uni, that those games in hand are going to be so key. They have to win both of them to keep pace with Rangers B selling at the top. So they've obviously got a game in hand as well. And the Spartans got two games in hand on Rangers. So is it what you expected, Chris?
To be fair, Strollers are still sort of, top half, still kind of fighting for, probably top six now themselves. So, yeah, to be fair, I mean, I don't think the conditions would have helped on a grass pitch. It was obviously, it probably would be a hard pitch given the conditions. I was actually surprised the game was on, considering Spartans, the under-20s game was postponed the day before. So I think it would have been tough conditions, but two good teams, I should say, going Haber and Tong to try and get goals, but it just never worked out for either of them. And probably one of the more exciting 0-0s, I would say. But yeah, I don't think conditions helped there, especially on the grass pitch.
an exciting 0-0. Certainly, not one of Fraser I'm often hearing. Yeah, I think that's the thing for Stirling Uni now is it's going to go and try and get those wins on the board. That's all they can do. They've obviously, I think we've mentioned the Bucks League. That's out of the way for them. They can focus a bit more on the Lowland League. I think they're still in the Cup, the South Charles Cup as well. So, they've still got plenty to play for when it comes to Stirling Uni.
Yeah, and obviously Stirling have the Bucks National Championship final for the first time since, Chris said 2011, 2012, but apparently a few of the older teams, some of his former players pulled them up because it was a lot. 2015, 16 apparently. So, I think I'm off that day and apparently it's getting streamed on YouTube, so I will hopefully be providing coverage of that game through the catch-up. I'm looking forward to seeing Stirling Uni hopefully win another trophy because they've obviously won the Bucks and they've got this trophy as well and they're obviously still in, as you mentioned, the South Challenge and whatnot. So I'll be interesting. Looking forward to seeing Stirling Uni.
Broomhill, another defeat for them is probably quite disappointing for them. Three losses in the bounce now, Chris.
Yeah. And I would probably expect Trinette to beat them because they've just been on poor form, Broomhill. All respect to Trinette. They're not out of it yet. I don't think anyone's really claimed that they are. But I think it's going to be tough. They haven't been overly consistent the last few games, but they are still a top team. And I believe there is probably still a belief there that they can overthrow the likes of Spartans and the B-sides to finish top. But I think it's going to be difficult, especially if they're not winning. But that was one game that you looked at and thought maybe they'd be the drop points. But Broomhill they're not great at the moment, Broomhill.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I think for Broomhill, it's like I just don't know where they go. These losses can't help the whole experience and the fan base and things like that. Because I think when they're doing well, everyone's talking about them. When they're doing not so well, there's less kind of talk and positivity. When it comes to Trinette, I think you're right. I think they're still in it. I think the only issue Trinette will have is that it's probably not in their gift to go and get it. They've got to rely on other teams at the top. Maybe dropping points, and we've talked about the Spartans before, where Spartans are obviously flying and doing wonders. They're the team with the most games in hand now that have got the chance. They were obviously off at the weekend with the postponement you mentioned. But there's a lot of football to be played. I think we've still got, five or six, seven games left to play in the league. So it's potential. There's potential there for any one team within the top five at the moment still, which is still that same pack of five that we've mentioned a few times. The gap between Stirling Uni and the likes of Berwick and East Kilbride is a bit low, and that's where it is, unfortunately, for those teams between 6th and about 17th. We know that's kind of nothing to really play for there. I think as well, obviously, Edinburgh Uni will be starting at the bottom. That's we've said it plenty of times, there's going to be a cup final at some point between the two of them to see who gets relegated, because I don't know if either team's got it in them to actually get results against our teams. If you look at the teams at the bottom, they'll beat you. Probably a team that you think they can do it, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out of the ball. Elsewhere then, the only one we'll talk about is Cali Braves. They were playing Berwick, and Berwick had been on a bit of a win streak, Chris, but Cali Braves got a result 3-2 at Alliance Park.
Yeah, really decent result I'll get for Cali Braves, considering Berwick were the team on form in the Lowland League, really. A tough place to go sometimes with Alliance Park, and Cali Braves seem to be really up for that one. Obviously, the man, Mark Kelly, mentioned him almost every week when we do these podcasts.
The Mark Kelly podcast, isn't it?
It pretty much is getting these days, eh? But I think
the new Daz Christie, isn't it? He's like the new Daz Christie.
Paul, aye, I saw that. How many Man of the Match awards has he had recently for Paul Hickey? I think one of the things I wanted to really mention about Cali Braves again, we mentioned it before obviously last week, but the boys doing the podcasts and they had Ricky Waddle on, and obviously they gave us a wee bit of a shout out obviously on stuff we were going to talk about, and it was interesting to hear Ricky's views. Obviously Ricky, a manager I really respect in this league. I think all the managers have probably not really spoken to Ricky too much or had much interaction with him, but a guy knows his stuff. Yeah, so great job with the podcast, guys. And obviously, the spaces in terms of commentating on games, really good, really innovative. So yeah, I like what Cali Braves are doing at the moment. And it's a really fantastic result against a decent Berwick side.
I enjoyed the actually listening to a bit of the Spaces, the match day commentary stuff on Saturday with the bus being off. I had a date myself watching Super Scoreboard and things like that. But I put that on for a bit in the background and had it on my laptop just playing. It was very good. I really enjoyed that kind of old school coverage. I felt like it was like an old school kind of radio type.
Yeah.
Vibe that you don't see anymore. All these things are kind of watch alongs and live streams and all that. Obviously, you're curtailed with what you can do at this level because of kind of media blackouts and things like that. But it's quite a clever way in the so marking you in of the Cali Braves media team do a grand job. It was cool to listen because I think for me it got a bit more insight into what Cali Braves do. I don't know an awful lot about them as a team or players, and I know the standouts, I guess, like your Mark Kellys and your Zach Butterworth, Cole Stars, etc. that we know of. And but it was good to hear more about the players. And I think one of the things that they highlighted was their goalkeepers. They brought in another goalkeeper, Bernie White.
Oh, from America, the American lad.
And he came in and it seemed like a great game. And they were talking about the 10 depth they have in the goalies. And,
yep.
It was good to hear that kind of information because it's just something you probably wouldn't pick up on too much. I love what you're doing. If I'm not in a game on a Saturday, then it's something I'll definitely be interested in.
Yeah, and just to add to that, you're right in terms of the goalkeepers that they have because Chris Henry's probably one of the better young keepers at this level and he's done really fantastically well. But I think they're trying to get this, Bernie in. He's played a few matches, I think, in this sort of South of Scotland competitions that the Cali Braves are still a part of. And it was that maybe first or second league game, I think, for Bernie. So, it's decent to see. Good. I think that's one thing Ricky mentioned, obviously, that he's wanting more depth at Cali Braves to compete.
Well, we'll move on then to the East of Scotland League. There was only three games played in the Premier Division, and it was Blackburn United 1, Musselburgh Athletics 6, Broxburn 1, Lothian Thistle Hutchinson Vale 5, Haddington 4, Sauchie 3. A great result for Haddington. We'll start off there. Obviously, Sauchie are a team on form at the moment, but a 4-3 victory over Sauchie, Chris.
Yeah, I was kind of keeping up with that one, actually. But I think there was some sort of malfunction or whatever with the internet, the old internet for Haddington, because they were 3-2 down at a point, and then all of a sudden it's 4-3. Sore one for Sauchie, but a fantastic result for Haddington, beating a really on-form Sauchie side. We've talked so much about Sauchie in terms of, their cup exploits. They're really doing well in the league, and that's a fantastic result for a Haddington side, which we, in fairness, I don't think we've really talked about so much this season. They're usually kind of sort of one of these bottom to the middle of the row teams in the East of Scotland Premier. So massive props for that result for the lads. Well deserved by all accounts. Putting four past Sauchie, really good result.
Yeah, I would say so. The other one that stands out for me in the league is Lothian Thistle Hutchinson Vale beating Broxburn. They always think of Broxburn as a good side, but it seems like Lothian Thistle Hutchinson Vale have picked up a bit of form, Chris.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Broxburn. It's very strange because they were always a top East of Scotland Premier team, and I think the expectations for this season was to be just that, to be challenging. Chris Townsley obviously left, I think, pretty much just before the start of the new year, and I don't think they've been the same team. They brought on a couple of players, lost a few, but I would really expect Broxburn to be pushing, and probably, in fairness to Lothian, as you mentioned, they've had a really good few results. But I don't, I wouldn't expect them to put five past Broxburn. I think that's a disaster for them. I don't know where they go. It's a strange one because you think of the East of Scotland and Linlithgow were really quiet for a couple of years and then suddenly they're back to being their best. Sauchie are coming up now. You've always got your likes of Genefield. Pennycook maybe be another one that, well, they've just hired Callum Elliott, so maybe not, but you were kind of maybe worried if Pennycook would still maintain that status of a top team in the East of Scotland, but Callum coming in, we just missed that. We recorded on Monday and then obviously it was announced Callum had taken over Pennycook. I should mention obviously the fact that a lot of people were I think Bowness fans were quite happy that we didn't mention they got beat off of Linlithgow, obviously, in the Cup. And then the big news there was obviously the fact that Max Christie stepped down. Ian Little, I think, is going to take interim charge. Guy that's very well experienced this level, won't be an issue. But it'll be interesting to see who Bowness hire as a manager there. But yeah, a lot going on in the East at the moment, similar to obviously the West that we'll get into. And yeah, there's just lots going on in general, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one you bring up there, Bowness, United and Max Christie parting ways. When I seen that, the first person I thought of for that job was Callum Elliott. And then I think about an hour later or something like that, it was announced he'd got the Penny Cook job. I had the fortune of speaking to Callum recently and quite in depth. And he's a very good manager. He knows what he's doing. He's very, very capable. His record is unbelievable at this level when you look at what he's done. In terms of win rates and success with clubs, you look at where Trinet are just now, and you can say that he absolutely built the foundations at Trinet there to get them into obviously get them into the Lone League and give them that kind of fighting chance to be up there. And I don't know where Trinet would have been personally if Callum Elliott stuck around. I know that he parted ways under kind of difficult circumstances, but certainly. They could well be a team that would be going for it. They'd had that team if they had the management team in place at the start. Because obviously Colin Nash has done a good job coming in, certainly minus the Buffs game and the Scottish Cup. But they certainly are a team that are capable. And going back to Pennycook, you mentioned them, they're kind of middle of the road team at the moment. But bringing in a capable manager who will be able to tap into markets and get some good players into Pennycook, providing they've got the budget to match that ambition. I don't know enough about East of Scotland and the kind of money and things like that are kind of involved at clubs. But if Pennycook have that ambition to go in, they can easily be a team that's right up there next season.
Another wee side note for the other Bowness team, Bowness Athletic, obviously 114 goals between TV Daramola, Dylan Patterson and Grant Rose, with TV having 54. I mean, I tweeted out the only other team that I can remember really getting to those numbers was Tynecastle a few seasons ago under Callum Elliott, obviously. I think they were 125 in 23 games.
But that was the full team, though, wasn't it? Team, whereas that's three players got 114 goals. Now, I don't know enough about the divisions that Bowness have had to play in, but I've got to ask the question, what are they playing against every week if they're scoring that many goals between three players? Or is just nobody else in the team scoring? I don't know. It's an interesting one.
We've said that. They're way below their level, obviously. TV's going to be moving to Kelty soon, and... Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if Bowness find it hard to keep some of the other players, but they're doing fantastically well for the levels. But yeah, we shout out to Bowness Athletic. I mean, that's incredible achievement, really.
We'll move on then to the South of Scotland League. There's only a couple of games on, and the one we probably want to talk about most, Chris, is Mid Annandale 18, Wigtown Bladnock 0. 18-0. That must be certainly a season record. I think Clyde Bank, as I understood it, had the record of the season. I think it was like 14-1 or 15-1 against Eglinton in one of the cup games, the West Scotland Cup. But 18, that must be the record, surely, for the season at least.
The issue with the South of Scotland is there was a league kind of pre-war and then it came back. So do you still include the pre-war? Do you not, sort of thing? I'm not sure, but yeah, that's a massive, massive win. I kind of gave praise to the Caledonian Braves reserves for beating Wigtown 5-0, but then I kind of looked at the league after that and realised that Wigtown are massively in a bad way. Yeah. And to concede 18 against Mid Annandale. In fairness, they're looking like a top side. We're probably not giving them a fair shake with the likes of Creetown and Lockhart Thistle, Abbey Vale. But they're right up there as well, but 18-0 is just a devastating result for any team. I mean, I don't think even the poorest sides in Lowland League, obviously your Whitehills, your Vale of Leavens conceded that amount of goals.
But yes, I mean, obviously I don't know enough about the two teams, but 18-0 against anyone is that an absolute fair crack. They must have just not stopped. They must have just been relentless to play against. Imagine a player, you get to like 4-5-0 and you must be like, I just absolutely can't be arsed with this. But do you know what I mean? It must be like...
Would be so disheartening.
You start probably trying, I mean, well, let's face it, you probably start trying to take bodies at that score, get an early bath and get up the road, you know, like, take the sender off and get out there, because you probably it must be hard work to play when you're playing that sort of scoreline. Moving on then to the West of Scotland Football League Premier Division, and the results were as follows: Cumnock Juniors 2, Auchinleck Talbot 4, Largs Thistle 3, Irvine Meadow 1, Petershill 0, Trin 2, Pollock 2, Atherley 0. The games between Beath Juniors and Gwyn Rangers, Cambus Lang, McGlen Afton, and Kirk and Turf, Rob Roy, and Clydebank were all postponed due to weather. The Gwyn Rangers Beath game being off on Friday afternoon, which I felt was a bit early, but.
You missed the needle on that one.
I did say that I'd maybe a Gwyn Rangers free zone this week on the podcast, because we didn't play, we didn't get beat, we didn't win, so we'll gloss over that one quite quickly. And we'll start then with Pollock Atherley. This game kicked off later, 3 o'clock kickoff, to allow the game to be played because of the weather and stuff down this way. So Pollock getting a win on the board. Atherley would be disappointed not to get something out of the game, given they're probably fighting for their lives like ourselves at the bottom of the table. But certainly, Pollock back to winning ways, clean sheet, they'll be certainly pleased.
As I mentioned, obviously, Darren Christie seems to be getting so many man of the match awards. I don't know if he's got a spare room, but he seems to be the man of the match every week getting...
just got a shelf in here, just everywhere.
Yeah, hi. We said at the start of the season, out of the three that came up, Arfley might be the one with the chance, but now it's not looking great for them. Obviously, the manager resigned recently, and it just seems to have went completely pear-shaped for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Atherley, obviously you mentioned the manager, Craig Palmer, leaving. He's joined St Caddocks as an assistant manager. Johnny Miller came in, who ex-Bees manager, has been out of the game for a couple of years. To me, it looked like a good appointment personally. I think... Johnny would be a safe pair of hands and somebody that knows the level, is his local club and stuff like that. But unfortunately, Johnny took, I think, one game and decided it wasn't for him, and he stepped back. And Gary Carroll, Lance Pierce, and I can't remember the other player's name, took interim charge. They played us on Wednesday night, got a point at Bus Park. We were just a wee bit kind of off the pace, early doors, and here's me talking about the Gwyn Rangers again. I said I wouldn't, but they obviously got a good point against us and away at a Bus Park, but they need to win as many games as we do. I think ultimately the one saving grace that Atherley might feel is that it depends what happens at the top of the division. Obviously, it's important for the West Scotland that either Darvel or Auchinleck win the league this year, so they can get the chance of getting promoted in that playoffs. I think if Beath win the league, it doesn't look like they'll be licensed, I think, in time to be able to go up. So we'll absolutely come into bottlenecks in the promotion relegation within the tier structure just shortly. But if Auchinleck do win the league and then do beat, we assume Linlithgow Rose in the playoff, which obviously there will be a South Scotland team involved in that, but we assume that that'll be a kind of a straight shootout between those two teams ultimately, and Atherley may be the team that might be safe, or like ourselves, for example. I think we've got, a target to try and finish above certain teams, and there'll be that third spot is the one that could be a bit of contention, depending on what happens. Moving on to the rest of the West Scotland Premier League then, Largs Thistle 3, Irvine Meadow 1, your beloved Largs Thistle up to 5th in the league. Will Sewell is back. He didn't score at the weekend. David Ramsey got a goal and beat the Medder. Always pleasing to see the Medder get defeated.
Always a tough one when a former player comes back and haunts you. It's just, it's written in the stars always. But it's an unbelievable run. I mean, it wasn't so long ago we were talking about, you know, Largs being in that fight, and for them to move up to... the fifth in the league is just incredible, isn't it?
It's insane.
And what, 4 wins in 6 games? I mean, going by the form, is just, yeah, it's crazy. And the fact that now they've got Will Sewell, it just adds a wee bit of, I don't have any worries where Largs getting relegated now.
Nah, I think for me, the two teams that I looked at that were probably at as much risk as we were, it was Largs and Trun, and throwing Glen Afton into the mix here as well. two teams that have went on great runs, Trune, beating Peter Sill at the weekend. I don't know where that came from. They've obviously signed a player like David Sine. I think we mentioned a couple of weeks back, he's a solid signing for them to come into their side and improve them. But I think maybe we deserve some credit, Chris, given we talked about Largs and Trune, about how kind of difficult the season had been. And all of a sudden, after that, they went on these big runs. So maybe they've got the catch-up bump. Maybe that's back. Maybe the Benji bump has returned. and they've got the bumps that were required. The other game then to talk about is Cumberland Juniors 2, Auchinleck Talbot 4. I guess disappointing one for Cumberland. It was 2 each going into injury time, and Aaron Mason's come on and grabbed two to get the victory and take the points back to Beechwood. Obviously an important one for Auchinleck in their title hopes.
Yeah, I think Cumberland have done really well in a sense, because we talked about them missing players, missing bodies, and not always been on the, you know, the greatest run of form lately. It's a tough one, especially that late on. But it's Auchinleck Talbot. You can never count out Auchinleck Talbot, and they're a team that's used to winning. And it's just, it's typical of maybe Tommy Sloan to make a change that just sees them through to get the 3 points. And to be fair to Aaron, he's a really decent player. And you do sometimes wonder if certain players are better off the bench or starting. And I think Tommy Sloan's had a wonder thought there, obviously, bringing Aaron on at that point in time.
I think Aaron Mason's a phenomenal player. He's probably one of those ones that goes under the radar quite a bit because he is younger. I think he came from amateurs. He was at Short Leeds, perhaps. And he's not the kind of one of the bigger names that we know about, the Mark Shanklins, the Brian Boylans, and Craig McCrackens, or Neil McPherson, or Andy Leishman. Obviously, Andy Leishman being out for Auchinleck is a sore one for them. But they brought in Mark Fisher from Trune, who seems to be very, very capable in goals. They've known an awful lot about Mark before that, but certainly a good performance from Auchinleck. Gets a win on the board, keeps them in the hunt. That's all they can do. They've got these so many games in hand that
Auchinleck are.
And we mentioned, obviously, I think there's been a few comments online about what we've talked about previously in Darvel, expecting Darvel to win the league. I mean, Auchinleck are obviously going to be right amongst it. There's no doubt about that. Where Auchinleck were at in September, October, absolutely deserved that as far as I'm concerned. I don't think we were saying anything that wasn't unfair. They were on a poor spell, and we did think that was the kind of the changing of the guard, if you like, when it comes to Auchinleck and their kind of dominance just kind of was over. But all you can do is go and prove yourself wrong, and they're doing that by what they've done now. And fair play to them, they're going to be right in amongst it, going into the run-in. There's going to be a lot of games to play. I mean, we're talking about finishing the season by the 15th of May or something like that, I think it's got to be, because of the playoff. I mean, teams, even ourselves, we only played 16 league games. We've still got 14 to play between the next 2 months, plus all the cup competitions that we're in. Auchinleck on a summer kind of boat, and then they might have a playoff to play, so... that'll be the bit for me that will be the important bit, is that squad depth. But if you've got a guy like Aaron Mason coming off the bench, you can bag you too. We've done that against us in the game that we lost, I think 6-0 back at Buffs Park in December. So very capable player, as I say, he'll be good. They've got some decent players. My worry would be Auchinleck is that depth of squad. I don't think they have the same depth that Darvel do, but by no means out of it.
Yeah, I think just to repeat what you said there, obviously we've give Auchinleck a lot of respect. I certainly have mentioned Tommy Sloan many times. At the time, it didn't look great for him, and we often said, you know, Tommy Sloan 100% deserves a chance, whether they're doing great or not. But, I mean, reality, West of Scotland, one thing Tommy Sloan hasn't won. Obviously, Darvel won it last year, so there is that. They've not been promoted, as I think you mentioned last week as well. This would be a great opportunity this season, but it's going to be tough. It's always going to be tough because that games, it's one of those ones where it's like, would you rather have points on the board or, you know, would you rather still have the games to play? And we'll know sooner rather than later, obviously, as you mentioned. There's a lot of
points on the board all day, isn't it? Yep. Got to be.
Yeah.
But We'll move on then. We'll cover off just a couple of games in the first division, I think, Chris. There's, well, I think, one that stands out there. Johnston Borough drawing with St Cadoc's. We mentioned St Cadoc's previously, a team obviously well back in that kind of promotion hunt, if you like, and again, dropping points against a team like Johnston Borough, who are not far out of it, but obviously a little bit further out of it. And I mean, you'd expect the capabilities of St Cadoc's have is to get that result.
Yeah, I think it's probably just a slap up, really. But a bit of respect to Johnston Borough. I actually kind of think they're a decent team. It's a bit like, I think when I looked at that league initially at the start of the season, you think St Cadoc's, Drumchapel, it's probably going to be between them two, but there is still some decent teams in that league, in fairness, and the draw is surprising, I would agree with you there, Ben, but I mean, it's probably just a minor blip in the season, but how are we actually? Whether the other divisions, obviously, we know that Kilsyth have won the Division 4. Are we that far away in terms of games to be played in other divisions?
So I think in the first division, it's still like anything from, I think, about 12, 13 still to play.
Right.
Still plenty to maybe 10 or so for some teams, you know, it's kind of at that point. Kilburnley in the first division are top now with 21 games played. They've also got the points on the board. Their fortunes have turned around, I think, yeah, significantly since Sean Dillon came in. They probably looked like a team that were going to be out of it with Tommy Molloy in charge, but made the change, brought in Sean, and they're capable enough to get promoted. I think they are a Premiership team, I would say, alongside the likes of Edinburgh. Very capable team sitting second. But St Cadoc's and Drumchapel and Gart Cairn have the games in hand that these teams doing, and it comes back to that point about the kind of points on the board that you said. So it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. The other one I'll probably quickly mention within the first division was Thornleywood 2, Bonnet and Thistle 1. My old pal David Gormley took the reins at Thornleywood, first game in charge, and got the win. So, and it's a good appointment for Thornleywood, I think. I think Gorms is a very capable manager. Obviously, it didn't work out for us at Colwinnon, but he'll go down in that first division. Their main objective will be staying up, I think, at this point in time. Very capable of doing that, certainly. As I understand, they've got kind of new committee and maybe some a bit more kind of more backers involved at Thornleywood. So they'll be a team to watch, I think, in the future. I think alongside Johnston Borough, I think we mentioned them earlier as well.
Yeah.
I understand Johnston Borough have some sort of new backer involved who is going to be putting some dough in there to support them, and there was rumour of, I think, Graham Doran's going to sign for Johnston Borough at one point.
really?
Had that rumour, yeah, recently. That was one of the better ones I'd heard. But yeah, that's the first division. In terms of the other divisions, Chris, I think Odd Rawson still sitting top of that table. I think I called that at the very start of the season. That's the one division that's played a lot more games, certainly. They've played 25, 24, so less games to play in the third, and in the second, it's Renfrew who sit top of that one. I've seen Renfrew play in the Strathclyde Demolition Cup final, against Whitlitz Victoria. I looked at a really good side, there's some good individual players in that team, and certainly an interesting one. Just a quick mention for Cammy Clark of Maryhill. We mentioned him last week. We had a bit of back and forth on the park last week, but Cammy got in touch, apologised for calling me a fat boy, which is fair play to Cammy. Appreciate the shout out. I think that's the first time everyone's came to me and apologised for something. So that's a catch up first. Someone actually coming to me and being like, rather the other way about. But
that's brand new, by the way. But
yeah, absolutely. I think as I said on the podcast last week, you think a good performance at centre back against us, and fair play, Cammy, must admit. Right, moving on then, that's all the football talked about within the pyramid. On that basis, we have about 20 minutes to discuss The big news within the Scottish football pyramid, and that is the one that's on everyone's lips at the moment, is this pyramid review that's taking place in the last few weeks, I guess, and the proposals for what the pyramid is going to look like coming up have been brought. So I think, as I understand it, there's the pyramid working group, which involves all the different leagues within the pyramid to discuss how the pyramid works. Obviously, it's a pyramid working group, how it works and how we can do things to improve and make change within the pyramid itself. And, I was expecting that to be a kind of a group who met regularly, who discussed what would happen. Now, as I understand it, that hasn't happened. And the SFA have went away and carried out their own pyramid review, if you like. And as I say, have came back with three proposals to put to SPFL teams. So if you've been living in a bunker for the last week or so, then you'll not know anything about this. But the options that were put onto the table were an SPL 5th Division, better known as SPFL League 3, which is something we've talked about at length. Stevie Aiken is the visionary. All hail King Stevie. Which would include 10 teams and would include B teams who are able to be promoted to the SPFL League 1. And it would allow for greater promotion relegation between the SPFL and the Lone League and Highland League. The second one was an expanded SPFL League 2 from 10 clubs up to 16 clubs, with six new entrants would be B teams, and some would be Lowland and Highland League teams. And this would also allow the B team to get promoted. And the third option is a new 10-team conference league, as they're referring to, I think like a national conference that would sit between the League 2 and the Lowland and Highland Leagues at Tier 5. And that would include some B teams, some Lowland League clubs, some Highland League clubs. The B teams would not be allowed to be promoted from this conference, and it would be like a separate entity. It's what's been referred to within the football structure. Effectively, what would happen there is that the current Tier 5, the Lowland and Highland League, would be bumped down a tier along with all the other teams at the below Tier 5. So that's the three options. I think, Chris, as we understand it at this point in time, option 1 and option 2 are off the table. They require SPFL clubs to vote for that structure change, whereas this option 3 is the preferred option for the SFA. Because there's not a requirement per se for voting. I've said a lot there, Chris. What's your initial thoughts on this one?
I was kind of reluctant to tweet out about it initially, but then obviously someone or a few media people kind of similar to ourselves probably saw the documents, and then they were kind of tweeting out of date information, because by that time option 1 and option 2 are off the table. The SPFL will not vote for B teams to allow them to get up to League One is just nonsense. It just wouldn't happen. They're not going to allow that. They're not going to vote for a League Three or an expanded SPFL League Two. So that's the reason they're obviously doing the Conference League and not being SPFL governed. They don't need SPL votes, and that's the way of getting around it, simply. I did hear some people say, oh, the SPFL would still have a say. The only thing that I think they would have a say is if relegation from League Two, they would still have to vote for that and stuff like that. My initial reaction was one of, do we really need another Tier 5? No, we don't. But also, I believe this is 99% done. And the reason being is because the money that's on the table, there'll be, if not Lowland League teams, there will be East of Scotland teams or West of Scotland teams. And let's be, you know, we're not trying to call out scabs or whatever, or, you know, that typical thing, but they would be insane not to take the money. They would be insane. I mean, I think there was 400k, 100k from each B team, yeah, and they're going to get 40k just to be in the league. Yeah, exactly. So the money is the game changer for me. And obviously, if League Two teams get relegated, I think that's obviously still to be worked out. They'll also get 40k as a parachute payment. So, I mean, the money is just too rich. It's too rich. And there'll be teams that will be like, oh, we're totally against B teams and that, but money can change it. And we've seen it with the Lowland League. We've seen it with, you know, the fact that it's a separate identity. There's talk of obviously having a, you know, different sponsorship deal. So the money becomes richer and richer and richer. And because of lockdown and everything that's happened over the last few years, there's bound to be one or two, three, four, five, six teams that want to take that money. There's got to be. And then, as far as I'm aware, there's probably less interest in, from Highland League teams, apart from maybe, well, what I would imagine, like Brora, Brechin. But yeah, apparently there is less interest from the Highland League teams than Lowland League side. So, but yeah, my initial reaction is we don't need another Tier 5. I think it's outrageous. I guess the whole thing was, it was basically, they weren't even trying to hide the fact that this is all about B teams. They've used the pretense so long, for years, that, oh, we want to help the pyramid, we want to help non-league teams. It's been all bullshit. It's all for the B teams, all for the, you know, your Rangers, Celtic, Hearts, now Aberdeen. They don't care about non-league clubs. And we've been driven down a certain path for so long, it's clear to see. And a lot of people will be like, oh, you said it was only 1 year, blah, blah, blah. Oh, this is the chick, you know. I think a lot of people forget. It almost was 1 year. I mean, the vote went, it was half and half, and it was the Thomas Brown that made the decision to allow B teams in again. So I think it's nonsense. No one could have known that it was going to be more than 1 year at that point in time.
I think just on that point, I think from our perspective, we obviously spoke to George Fraser at length on the podcast, and that was the discussion. We expected kind of more discussion about, I've used the phrase ventilation, George has used the phrase ventilation in the past and at the bottom of the pyramid. And I think for us, as a podcast, we probably could accept B teams within, yep, the pyramid. I think not that argument isn't going away. We've seen it in the Lowland League. Has it had that much of an impact on the Lowland League, really? I don't think so. I think, if anything, it adds a bit more spice to the Lowland League, from what I've seen over the last two seasons, certainly more this year, when they've been involved at the kind of the top end of the division, and they look like they're potentially going to win the league. The B team argument has been around for fuck knows how long, 10 years maybe or something like that.
Yeah.
And there's been ideas and things came up. So I think the main thing is they're here to stay. This idea that they go to the bottom of the pyramid probably doesn't really work in practice. The argument is about development and all that for the players. We could talk about that at length as well as a separate discussion. How is that really what's happening? But they obviously need to find a place from somewhere. Their natural probably home is the Lowland and Highland League. I think if you thought about Aberdeen, for example, coming in, I don't see why they can't play in the Highland League as a B team. You mentioned the money there, Chris, the fact that there is, well, I think, 100k coming from each of the B teams to enter in this Conference League. Not to copy too much what Mick Kennedy was saying on Twitter, but he made a good point about why can that money not go into the Lowland League and the Highland League, for example, and support that and make that kind of softer landing for the teams. The one thing that sticks out for me in this whole thing is, it's meant to be a pyramid review. It's not really a pyramid review, is it?
No.
It's a review of the B teams. Yeah, find the hole for the B teams. We haven't even talked about beyond Tier 5 at this point in time. If anything, the pyramid becomes worse for having a new Tier 5 league. You mentioned there that there'll be teams that will want to go into it. That's an absolute guarantee. We won't, for the purposes of not starting an argument or a war with any club, we won't then mention specifics, but I think we could probably look at clubs that are around the Tier 5, Tier 6 as it stands, and we'd probably look at that as an option because they have aspirations to become League 2
yep,
or a League 1 side, and that's fine. Like, I think the worry with this whole thing is that it's going to just bottleneck the pyramid even more, because you're adding a tier in, there's only going to be how's promotion relegation really going to work if there's so many B teams in there? Do you have to finish bottom to get relegated, for example? There's a lot of stuff to start to be kind of ironed out, I think. But I think what we need to realise here is this is coming, like, regardless of what we think or what we want to say. As I understand it, the four leagues, committee, Lowland League, Highland League, Lowland League, West of Scotland, East of Scotland, and South of Scotland are meeting tonight to discuss it. The Lowland League, I think, are meeting tomorrow night. The West of Scotland meeting Tuesday night to discuss it. But I don't really know what's going to be discussed, because there'll not be a lot of say. The Lowland League must have a little bit of say with the Highland League around that promotion relegation. They must have to make some sort of agreement between the kind of promotion relegation rules, I would have thought. But essentially what happened in there would be Club 42 becomes Club 52, in essence. And the Lowland or Highland League team will get promoted into Tier 5, as it would be as it stands. Obviously, they get to Tier 4 just now, but it'd be the same thing. So, very disappointing, I think. I think we all universally agree that this is not a good thing for Scottish football. It's all about the B teams. It's that, again, the same old things. The old firm run Scottish football, it's been said time and time again, that becomes more and more apparent every time you look at this. I think if you were looking at options, I think the expanded SPFL League 2 was probably the one that looked the best, if I'm honest. I think that was the one that probably appealed to me personally. We make jokes about League 3 all the time, but League 3 is probably quite similar to the Conference League, but it would be something that obviously needs a bit more kind of promotion.
The SPFL League 2 and League 1 teams are really adamant that they won't have Colts involved, and fair play to them. And in fairness, the Lone League have been pushing for, as far as I understand, you know, automatic relegation for League 2. But because there's B teams now in the fray, you know, we talk about the Pyramid Working Group, and this was meant to be, I guess, people from all tiers talking, and it's just not happened. And you kind of wish that we could all come together and put the past aside and literally just say, look, what's happened? I've often said, I don't think the Colts have been the issue. I mean, the first season, it didn't really affect anything. They weren't, to me, I still believe they weren't skipping tiers, because there wouldn't have been an expanded Lowland League without B teams being in it, sort of thing. And now, you know, if all these other clubs, for a lack of a better term, get relegated or go down a tier, obviously that is affecting them. Whereas before, it really wasn't, because we wouldn't have 19 teams in the Lowland League if the B teams weren't there anyway. I just think it's a massive mess. And I think the biggest mistake the Lowland League has ever made was the fact that they didn't open up their league, because it would have been a much better position to try and get all the tiers below the SPFL on side against the SFA, against the SPFL. But that was a massive hampering of relations there, I think. And it's time. I think it's time for Tier 5, Tier 6, Tier 7, Tier 8, Tier 9, Tier 10 to come together and say, look, let's forget the past. Let's try and work something out. Hopefully, you would think League 2 and League 1 would be involved in them discussions, because they're not listening to fans. You know, it's pretty clear fans don't want B teams. I know it's going to happen anyway because the SFA are pushing it, but we need to come to some sort of solution where, right, what's right for our clubs, what's right for yours? Because at the end of the day, I mean, it doesn't matter now, because essentially 200 teams are going to go down a tier. So work something out or everyone's going to suffer, and that's essentially what's going to happen.
I think the problem is that the teams, and I'll say we as a collective within that tier, 6 and below, certainly, we don't have a say, really, to be honest. Yeah. Like, I know there's been kind of rumour, there's been talk of setting up the old the old football associations. I think the old kind of regional football associations, like the West of Scotland Football Association, for example, and some of the other ones that maybe they'll have more of a say because they'll be SFA members and they'll have skin in the game. So maybe that's something that clubs need to think about. We start to look at being in that position where you can go and have a seat at the table and discuss with the SFA, because just now you don't really. I mean, in terms of what happened with this one, I think Ian Maxwell met with the four leagues within the Lone League territory, and just kind of bounced around some ideas and discussions, and then 2 or 3 weeks later turned up a proposal that was this, and essentially didn't really take any input from them. Really, let's be honest, I don't think there was really much care or consideration for what the teams at that level wanted. But we are where we are. I think now, I think we, you're right, we have to get real here and realise that B teams are in here. Let's find a solution. The Lone League, from our perspective, I think we have to sort out that promotion relegation as a matter of urgency. I think we've said it time and time again, we're plugging over old ground here quite a bit, but you can't have your cake and eat it. I think that's my thing. If you're pushing for one automatic promotion at above you, and you're saying you don't have that within your current setup, then for me, the SPFL, unfortunately, are probably quite right to say, well, you don't deserve that. You're not practicing what you preach, ultimately.
Biggest mistake they ever made, honestly. Colts teams aside, biggest mistake the Lone League ever made. And we were heavily critical of them getting these guys together. But do we really need more, you know, organisations? Can we not just have one? Why do we have to have the fucking SFA, the SPFL, the East of Scotland, the Lone League? Can we not have one group of guys? I think Ricky Waddle mentioned it on the Braves podcast. That's half the issue, the fact we have all these different organisations working for themselves.
I think on that point, I agree with that to an extent. I think it's right that the leagues are organised by a separate entity, as it would be. I think the SPFL are probably the best place to do that. And there's no reason why the SPFL can't bring in the Lone League, the Highland League, and the tiers below it. I think from an organisational perspective, the people that are running these leagues now would slot in there fine, and they'd have the one say. But it comes back to that point, isn't it? You've made it's a turkey's vote for Christmas situation.
It doesn't matter now, though.
They don't want expansion. They don't want B teams. They don't want to risk their position within the SPFL. I mean, let's be honest. The SPFL, as it stands, the teams in there are treading water. There's a lot of teams in that league, in those leagues, that are treading water. Probably being protected by the fact it's only Club 42 that gets relegated at this point in time. We can rhyme off teams. I'm not going to go into detail about teams and specifics, but there's teams in there, even the Championship you look at, that are probably going to tumble down the divisions and probably within 3 or 4 years' time be around that Club 42 scenario. So the teams don't want it. They absolutely don't want an SPFL. We can talk about all we want, what we want this, we want that. And I think we'll probably do that as a podcast at some point. We'll maybe bring in some different people and have a kind of open debate and maybe try and get people on the other side of the debate. I think we as a podcast and as representatives of tier 5, tier 6, etc., then we can ask and say what we want. But I think we're maybe blinkered from our perspective, because that's we want change, and the SPFL are probably in the same boat the other way. So we're probably at a bit of a stalemate. So I would love to get in a situation where we maybe speak to people at the likes of maybe, I don't know, Stenny, Albion Rovers, Stirling Albion, these different kind of, I'm just picking names out of the hat here, to be honest, some Lowland League teams, some West, some East, and just try and have a kind of open debate and just see where we can go and see if we can find some common ground, because that's not what's happening. And if we can be a vehicle for that, then I think that's a positive thing, because I think just now we're going nowhere what we want to see change.
Half the issue, I think, is not so much hatred for B teams, but certainly Rangers and Celtic. And I would think that's it. I mean, you know, I mentioned something about Craig Telfer on Twitter. He tweeted something out like, you know, if Rangers and Celtic, you know, no hope kiddies or whatever. I took exception to that tweet. And what he was saying was fair enough. But, you know, to call the players no hope kiddies, I mean, it's just massively disrespectful, because some of these boys have been in around the first team and might make it senior. It's not the fact that it's Rangers and Celtic, you know, just, oh, this is our, you know, reserve team, we're not going to care about it. A lot of these guys are, you know, mention the quality of Joey Dawson and Zach Lovelace and Adam Brooks and Charlie Lindsay and stuff like that. These are really good players. And if you actually, and in terms of the interviews and stuff like that, they will tell you that the Lowland League, playing in the Lowland League, has helped them. I've heard it myself in terms of what they've said and whatever. And so, yeah, just don't blame the players. It's not none of this is the players' fault.
No.
And it's the same with any league, if it's the SPFL or the West of Scotland, East of Scotland, Lowland League, it's not the players' fault. They don't aim it at the players. Blame the clubs if you want, the Prem clubs, you know, Aberdeen, Hearts, Rangers, Celtic. But, yeah, just don't blame the players. I really objected to that because we have talked up the quality of these guys, and it's a shame that people are now kind of starting to target players. And in fairness, I don't mind Craig. I've not really had many dealings with him, but what does he really know about this level? And I think that's half the issue. I mean, if Steny, and unless Steny got relegated to Lowland League, I don't think he would know much about Northern League. And that's a lot of the issue, where it's people chiming in that probably support likes of Dundee United that are coming in and trying to have a say on non-league that they've not even turned up to a non-league game. You know what I mean? And that's just my perspective from that point of view.
Yeah, the other one I want to mention as part of one of my West of Scotland thing is this thing that keeps coming up about, oh, well, we should just go back to the juniors now. Let's get that idea in the fucking bin just now. The juniors have had its day. We can all agree that the West of Scotland League, for example, is a much better place now than it was 4 or 5 years ago. No doubt about it. You've got your licensed clubs in there. A lot of folk are saying, oh, maybe what was the point of going getting licensed? We should just go back to the juniors. Get your license because you can at least get the Scottish Cup. That's an exciting prospect for a club, I would say. So let's just forget about this idea of going back to the juniors. We've progressed massively at tier six, tier seven, tier eight, tier nine in the West of Scotland. Just get the idea of the Junior Football Association in the bin. The one thing I would caveat that with that, there's probably an argument for some sort of national cup competition. I think I can get behind that, maybe not the Junior Cup per se, but some sort of format that would bring in the all the clubs within Scotland at this level, kind of non-league trophy if you like, but I think the appetite isn't quite there from the Highland League clubs. But yeah, let's see what happens over the next couple of weeks. I think I'd be keen to sit down with some people with different levels of the pyramid and have a kind of, as I say, a bit of an open debate, whether that's players, managers, chairman or women, committee members, pundits, whatever it is that know the game. I'd love to have a kind of open debate about where we go and how we get it right. And then maybe we can start to help wake up these teams that are maybe against some of the ideas that are kind of holding us back just now. Well, that's it for us on the Official Catch-Up podcast. Get us on all the usual social media channels, Official Catch-Up, YouTube, etc. Like, subscribe, do all the good stuff. Nae box and chat, really, to discuss. I watched some women's boxing on BBC Friday night for some random reason. That wasn't very good. But apart from that, nothing in the boxing front until maybe one of the bigger fights happens on Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk are trading discussions just now about a big fight, so maybe that'll happen. But until next time, we'll be 3 weeks in a row. Hopefully we can make it 4 weeks in the trot next week. Until then, have a good one. Cheers.